Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. That's pretty cool. I like that. Nice selection of great hymns of the faith. Thank you so much for that. Well, as we were wending our way down here from Westchester County, your own Don Dunkerton was wending his way up to Westchester County. He's speaking at the assembly where I grew up, which is in Yonkers, and I know they were looking forward to hearing from him this morning. But it's so nice to be here. Thank you. You guys are just so terrific. You welcome us like family, and we're so grateful that we could come and be with you. There was a day, probably one of the blackest days in the history of Judah. The king of Assyria, and Assyria was the world power at the time, north of Judah, sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander, along with a large army of about 185,000 men. They came just near the walls of Jerusalem, and they asked for a conference. That's a conference you don't ignore. King Hezekiah, the godly king of Judah, sent his representatives out to talk. The name of God was belittled. God can't help you. You need to succumb to the king of Assyria. The power of the day, the other power, was Egypt, but they're like a reed with splinters. You couldn't even lean on them. He offered a deal. He said, you know what? I will offer you thousands of horses from our army if you can get anybody to ride them against us. He made fun of God. And then he had the nerve to begin to speak even more loudly so that the citizens of Jerusalem who were on the wall and in the area could hear him. This guy spoke Hebrew, and he spoke nice and loud. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He can't protect you, and your God can't protect you. Hezekiah passed the word, don't say anything. Just let him talk. But Hezekiah was terribly upset. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and sent a message and messengers to Isaiah. Pray. Seek the Lord's wisdom. We need a word from the Lord. And the Lord sent back, I will create a problem for this king of Assyria. Don't worry about him. I'll get him out of here. Hezekiah read a letter, the latest one, from this supreme commander, again threatening and making sure that they gave up. He read it before the Lord. I like that. He read something that was threatening to him and to his people before the Lord. What did God do? God miraculously sent his angel and destroyed all 185,000 soldiers in the Assyrian army. And guess what? They went home. They got out of there. What a victory. What an incredible victory. What was disastrous and fearsome and terrible turned into the greatest victory in the world for them. Have you ever seen God work in your life miraculously like that? I think if we search our memories, we can remember a time like the Israelites said when they came back from captivity in Persia. It was like a dream. It was so wonderful. God does those things for us. We get tied up in our problems and our difficulties, and yet we see God work miraculously. And we're jumping and we're happy. Speaking of Christmas, if you've ever seen that 1951 version of A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim, the dramatic change from the greedy, evil-looking businessman to the person who's jumping around like a kid trying to stand on his head. That's the kind of joy that God's working in our lives provokes. He does work mightily in life, in your life and in mine. We choose to focus on the next problem and not think about what he's done. Remember the old song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. And we should. We'll see what the Lord has done that way. We're going to talk about Psalm 66 today. Thank you so much for reading it in its entirety. It is a fabulous psalm. The lesson plan that you guys use, and we do too in our fellowship, has entitled this particular message, God is Awesome. And he is. Unfortunately, today, as we hear it from a lot of people, everything's awesome. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. But it's not awesome like God is awesome. And we're going to see that as we go. The psalm really focuses on praise. As a matter of fact, some have suggested that what happened with the king of Assyria and the deliverance for King Hezekiah in Jerusalem was what prompted the psalm to be written. We don't know. It may have just been a normal miracle that some believer experienced. Now, if you look at the psalm, you'll see three different sections. Interesting. It starts out with praise from everyone, all the earth. That's 1 to 7. And then, as you look down from 8 to 12, it's praise from the specific nation of Israel. 8 to 12. And then the last section is the praise of God by a single individual. It's really neat the way God puts that together. Everyone, believers, you. Let's look at the text as we go. First of all, what's said is, and the old King James has it, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. My father has always loved that because he never felt that he could sing. But he said, I can at least make a joyful noise. He could at least praise God that way, even though his voice was not like George Beverly Shea. But the word actually is shout with joy to God. Shout with joy to God. Now, shouting was part of the celebration when King David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. The scripture says, so all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouts, with the sounding of ram's horns and trumpets and of cymbals and the playing of lyres and harps. We don't often shout to God in our worship, do we? But we do at a sporting event. My son and I went to a Yankee game not too long ago. And everybody sat there very sedate, and we just watched the game, and we said, go, go. Everybody was screaming, shouting. Now, I know that the Lord tells us to do things decently and in order, and I think that's good. But I've heard brothers sound out aloud, amen, when they've heard a truth proclaimed. I've seen believers spontaneously applaud when something was mentioned about what God has done. Have you ever seen that happen? It's really, really cool. It's, go God, that's great. Praise your name. My dear wife tells me that she sings at the top of her lungs alone in her car when she hears a hymn of the faith. She puts on a CD and she starts singing away. I don't know what people think of her as she's driving along, but she's enjoying the Lord and she's praising him. Psalm 98:4 says, shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Try cheering for the living God. Do it when you're alone. Do it in the car. Be just overwhelmed with who God is. God is awesome. And if he tells you, if he shows you, if something you're listening to on the radio or tape or disc or song that you have sung in the past, just yell out, "Praise you, Lord." We are to shout praise to our God. Verse 2, all should praise his name. You see, the shouting leads right into the singing. You're excited, you're celebrating, you're praising him for what he's done. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious, verse 2 says. And when you do, here's a tip from the psalmist. Focus on the names of God, for they represent his character. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites, "I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation." Praise the I am. The center, the beginning of all things. I am. He's also the God of Abraham. Praise God for being the God of Abraham as you think about his life. The God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. We like the phrase that was used by Abraham when he was told to offer his son Isaac, and God provided a substitute, and he called the Lord Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, his name. The truth, his name. The life. Those are just some examples. You can think of who the Lord is by his name. That's how he reveals himself and his glory. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. That means us. All should praise his name. And finally, when you sing out with respect and honor, do God's name. Because it says, make his praise glorious. So we make a joyful noise. All of us should. And all of us should sing and praise his name. We also should praise his power. Say to God, "How awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name," verses 3 and 4. They sing praises to your name. Do you know that salespeople have scripts? You know that telemarketers have scripts. Why? They're smart people. Well, they're told this is what to say to explain the product to the best effect and get a sale. The psalmist is here giving us a script for our praise. Here's how you praise his power. Say to God, "How awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name." You mean I have to use those exact words? No. Make them your own. But it's a tip. Praise God's power. That's what holds everything together. He holds this earth together. And we'll see more how he involves himself in our lives. And the miracles he performs. That's God's power. So praise him with a loud voice. Praise his name. Praise his power. The psalmist gives us these right words. All should praise his deeds. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Did you ever really think about the miracle of the Red Sea? You realize what was happening? Those poor people were trapped. There was no way to go. And Pharaoh, the liar, had mounted his army and his chariots and were chasing after them. And they got them. They trapped them in a spot that they could not escape from. Because Pharaoh and his army were here, the Red Sea was there, and they were in the middle. And God made a way so that they could walk on dry ground through the Red Sea. The mouths must have flown open, not only by the Israelites, but also by the Egyptians. What is he doing? How are they doing this? Some people say that the second part of that phrase refers to the crossing of the Jordan 40 years later. Could be. In both cases, God did a miracle and parted the water. Review the miracles again. Think about them. What about miracles in your life? What about your salvation? What about your spiritual growth? What about victory he's given you in his life, your life? All should praise his deeds. That's part of what we do. It's praise and it's worship. Note the phrase, his eyes watch the nations. The word means to examine with a brighter, clear eye. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. His power, his name, his deeds, all part of our God. God is awesome. That's the call to everyone. All of us should do that. Now he drops down a level. We get down to verse 8. Believers, us, Israel at the time, should praise their God. Praise our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. Praise our God. Believers have a special relationship with their Lord. He sought us. The Holy Spirit drew us to him. We understood salvation. We wanted to be saved. And we're now born again. Joint heirs with Christ, sons and daughters of God. So that's our God. That's our God. The call is to praise for everyone to praise, yes, but now we're going to do it. This is our God. We have a claim on him. Listen to Revelation 5, 9 and 10. The future scene in heaven. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God, purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. They will reign on the earth. Our God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross to shed his blood for us. Why? That he would make us a kingdom of priests. That's great. But we would also reign with him on the earth. That's even greater. Praise your God. Look at verse 9. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. He has, you know. Believers should praise him for physical and spiritual life. He's preserved our lives. The children of Israel, as they were going into the land, were told by Moses to be sure that they followed the commandments of God, that they might live long in the land. There's a connection between God and health. Oh, no, no, that does not mean that God always grants perfect health. But he does bless us with health. And for those who have good health, we can thank the Lord for that. Kept our feet from slipping. That has a spiritual intonation to it. That has to do with our spiritual growth. How are you doing spiritually? Oh boy, I've had a great opportunity to serve the Lord. I've been talking to some people. And you know what? I'm just loving reading my Bible. I just don't know. Where did that come from? It's because the Lord takes care of your spiritual life too. Now the next part. Look at 10 to 12. Believers should praise him for testing. Oh no, gotta go. Sorry, I really don't want to hear about that. Thank you. Praise God for his deeds, for taking care of our spiritual and physical health. Yeah, I like that. I'll praise his name. But praise him for his testing? Come on, man. You're talking about all the wonderful things God did. Why do you bring this up? Listen to the verses. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I'd like to fast forward over those first few words and go right to place of abundance. But that's not the way it works. Before abundance comes testing, trials, hard times. I'd like everything to go smoothly. Life is a bowl of cherries. Wonderful. It isn't. First of all, we're refined like silver. Refined like silver. Because, you know, there are impurities in us. Sometimes wrong motives, wrong attitudes, wrong actions, wrong thinking. And he's going to refine us so we don't have those things anymore. Spurgeon says that there are four needful things in silver refining. Number one, to assay silver requires a great personal care in the operator. He's got to know what he's doing. Number two, to assay silver requires a carefully constructed furnace. Otherwise, there are all sorts of problems, and there'll be no refining. Number three, to assay silver, the heat must be, as he puts it, nicely regulated. Not too hot. Not too cold. And lastly, number four, the assayer repeats his trying process. I didn't realize that. They test a couple of times just to be sure that they have it right. You see God's care with us? Refining us like silver. Ouch. That's testing. But remember, God is doing it himself. He's doing it in the perfect place. The heat is nicely regulated, and he may test it just to be sure that it works right. But he's working on each one of us who know Christ as our Savior. But there's more. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. Are you in a prison today? Oh yeah, let me tell you about my job. Oh, it's so difficult. The challenges I face, they just don't understand me. The bosses, you're in prison. I have so many things to do. I have financial burdens. I have other things I have to do. Burdens on your back. And it continues, verse 12. You let men ride over our heads. You, dear Father, you are God. You, the one we're praising. Let men ride over our heads, pushing us down. We went through fire and water, a burning building or a flood. There are instances of that even in the Christian's life. But then you brought us to a place of abundance. James tells us, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And get this. The psalmist says in Psalm 26:2, test me, O Lord, and try me, examine my heart and my mind. Do you really mean to say that? We should. Because this is one of the reasons we praise God. Because life is not a bowl of cherries, because we go through these things. And when I get to Monday, I'm not going to be real sure of this, but it's true nonetheless. The writer of the Hebrews welcomes the Lord's discipline as a son in Hebrews 12:6-7. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? So believers should praise him for testing. Now let's move on to the last category. Praise of God by a single individual. You, me, the psalmist. The psalmist now hearkens back to a difficult time personally. He called on the Lord when he was going through that difficult time. Oh Lord, please help me. If you could just get me out of this, this is intolerable. If it's your will, move me out of this, and I will praise you, and I will bring a vow to you. I will make an offering for you. And God did. And he was freed from prison, fire or water, someone rolling over him, burdens on his back. Look at verses 13 to 15, or down to 16. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and offerings of rams. I will offer bulls and goats, Selah. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue, verse 17. You ever make a vow like that when you're going through a hard time? If the heat is real high, maybe. It may not be your practice. And I'm not asking that it be. But when you go through difficult situations like this, and you make a promise like that to God, keep it. Keep it. We forget. We go through a difficult time, and God is spectacular. And things are fine. Things are great. And what is our reaction? Wow. I got out of it. You did? It's over. If the Lord delivers you, praise him for it and keep your promises, any promises you may have made. You know, I've been thinking about getting involved in Sunday school and teaching a class. And Lord, if you get me out of this, I really want to do that. Do it. Thanksgiving is almost upon us. And I know at our house, what we do is we sit around the table and each of us shares what we're thankful for. You may have done something like this. And some are a little nervous doing it, but we try to do it, and some are a little longer, some are a little shorter. But it's a precious time, because we're thinking back to a time when we're delivering, that we've been delivered, and we are giving glory to God. And what's more, we're doing it publicly, at least in the family. Praise for the Lord is important, especially in light of a deliverance in your life. And a commitment to whatever vow or promise you made is equally important. Have you ever been in a testimony meeting? I know in Yonkers and New Year's, the watch night service, what we used to do is we'd call on people to get up and say what the Lord has done for them that year. They always wanted the teenagers to do that, and I always would try to hide during the food break in between the services so that no one would say, Steve, could you do that for us? But we did. I did. Everyone did. And it was great just to hear what God was doing. Sharing publicly is a good thing, even sharing one-to-one. It's an encouragement, especially to the younger believers, or it's an encouragement to a believer who happens to be in prison at the time and having a difficult time, that God does work, God does deliver. And quickly on, individuals should praise with a clean heart. Before we praise, we must pray. Before we pray, we must not cherish sin in our heart. Isn't it interesting that we can have certain sins that we kind of nurture and keep quietly in our hearts? But really, we're all Lord. I mean, 95% belongs to the Lord, but you know, that 5%... just not going to touch it. I like it too much. For the psalmist, he did not have those cherished sins. We as Christians are told that we can confess our sins. And if we do, God promises that he will be faithful and just and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's day-to-day Christianity. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You have sin, folks. Confess the sin. Make sure you're not cherishing stuff. Look upon it all as a cancer in your life that you've got to get rid of. Then your praise will be clean and pure for Him. We must ask God to search our hearts and see if there's any wicked way in us. You can't see it all, but God can. You can be sitting there with your open Bible reading. Ask God, Lord, search my heart. Search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And He'll tell you. And then confess it and renounce it. And lastly, you as an individual can praise God for hearing you. He does. You hear the expression in Scripture sometimes, the heavens are like brass. You can't seem to be getting through. But how wonderful to know that God hears, that He even keeps our prayers recorded. That's the little container mentioned in Revelation. The prayer of the saints are kept there. Probably our electronics are nothing compared to His. And we should thank the Lord because He hears us. He hears us. He hears us. He will act according to His will, not yours. Your child comes up to you and says, "Can I eat all this candy before supper?" Sure, enjoy. But make sure you're at the table in 5 minutes. Something wrong there. Mom and Dad know best. Our Father knows best in the things we pray, but He does hear us, and He does work good for us. Let's follow the Psalm 66 blueprint. Let me review it with you again. All should praise God loudly. Amen? Yes. I can't hear you. Amen? Amen. All right, okay. All should praise His name. Think of all the names of God in Scripture and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dwell on those and praise Him for it. Praise His power. No one will steal a march on Him. And as I often hear Chuck Swindoll say on the radio, good news for Christians, God wins. God wins. And we do too. All should praise His power. And lastly, all should praise His deeds. Think of those. Meditate on those in Scripture and in your own life. And believers should praise their God. He belongs to you. Jesus Christ died for you. Praise Him for physical and spiritual life. He's given you both. And praise Him for testing. Praise Him for testing. There's a reason for that too. And lastly, as an individual, you should praise the Lord for deliverance, publicly. Tell people about it. Tell them what God has done. Do you ever share something like that with a non-Christian? Try it. God was so good. We were so lost that night, and God got us to the right person. I can't believe how He worked that out. Huh? They need to know that God is alive in your life. Praise the Lord with a clean heart. Don't cherish sins in your life. Ask God to search your heart. And praise God for hearing you, because He does. The God of the universe takes time to hear you. Or maybe He should hear some official, some wealthy person. No. He hears you. And even though all of us are talking all the time and praying, "Oh Lord, I got a problem here, I need your help there," He hears us all. We can praise Him for that. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you to receive Him today. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took all of your sin and mine and everyone else's. And all that sin was upon him when he was punished and executed by the Roman government. God placed all that sin on him, yours, mine, ours. And he died. And he was punished. God turned his back on him. And because of that punishment, God can offer you the gift of forgiveness. You're free to go. You're not guilty anymore if you receive the gift, if you receive salvation. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've come here, you kind of know people, you know the words, you know what's going on, but you never, ever can remember a time when you said, "Yes, Lord, I want to receive your salvation, your forgiveness. I want to become a believer." Then you need to do that today. You need to make a statement to him in prayer and receive what he freely gives you. And for Christians, let's meditate on this psalm. There's some great psalms that we've been studying and a lot more. If you have a tape or a disc or whatever of the psalms, put it on and just listen. You'll be knocked over at how great God is, how God meets so many needs, and God hears us. Let me close, before we pray, with a paraphrase of this same psalm. I'm just going to read it, no comment, and then we'll close in prayer. Now, this is not a translation, it's a paraphrase. But it captures a lot of what we've been saying and who God is. Because remember, God is awesome. All together now, applause for God. Sing songs to the tune of his glory. Set glory to the rhythms of his praise. Say of God, "We've never seen anything like him." When your enemies see you in action, they slink off like scolded dogs. The whole earth falls to its knees. It worships you, sings to you, can't stop enjoying your name and fame. Take a good look at God's wonders. They'll take your breath away. He converted sea to dry land. Travelers crossed the river on foot. Now, isn't that a cause for a song? Ever sovereign in his high tower, he keeps his eye on the godless nations. Rebels don't dare raise a finger against him. Bless our God, O peoples. Give him a thunderous welcome. Didn't he set us on the road to life? Didn't he keep us out of the ditch? He trained us first. Passed us like silver through refining fires, brought us into hardscrabble country, pushed us to our very limit, road tested us inside and out, took us to hell and back. Finally, he brought us to this well-watered place. I'm bringing my prizes and presents to your house. I'm doing what I said I'd do, what I solemnly swore I'd do that day when I was in so much trouble. The choicest cuts of meat for the sacrificial meal, even the fragrance of roasted lamb is like a meal, or make it an ox garnished with goat meat. All believers, come here and listen. Let me tell you what God did for me. I called out to him with my mouth, my tongue shaped the sounds of music. If I had been cozy with evil, the Lord would never have listened. But he most surely did listen. He came on the double when he heard my prayer. Blessed be God. He didn't turn a deaf ear. He stayed with me, loyal in his love. Let's close in prayer. Our God is an awesome God, and we love you, Father. We pray that you would bless this psalm to our hearts. We are a needy people. We run into difficult times. And it's part of testing that you're bringing to us. But there are days, Father, when you open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing there isn't room enough to receive. And there will be that day in the future as well. Oh, Father, thank you. May we praise you loudly. May we continue to praise you for what you're doing to us as human beings, to us as believers, to us as individuals. And Father, if there's any here who knows not Christ, may they understand what they're dealing with, that this is a matter of eternal life or eternal death. Dear God, speak to them by your Spirit. Win them over to you. May they speak to one of the elders here. May they pray to you and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, grabbing this forgiveness, being guilt-free. Thank you for this fellowship. Continue to bless it, Father. May it be strong. May it grow in you. May it serve you, and may others find Christ from this outreach and right here in this fellowship. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.